My name is Shazib Siddiqui. I work at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, and today we'll be talking about build tests. It's an HP testing framework for facilities to run acceptance tests. Build test is an open source project. It can be found on GitHub, and on the right is the documentation. It's on buildtest.readthedocs.io. Build test is implemented in Python. It's a framework for the facilities to acceptance test for their system. Typically, this will be for the HPC staff to run acceptance tests on a frequent, like a maintenance outage, or on a daily or weekly basis, where they would run tests to monitor different parts of the system. Typically, you will write these tests in YAML if you're using build tests, and these tests are validated through JSON schemas. Build tests will automatically create the tests and execute them on your system. Build test is not a replacement for tools like build tools like Make, CMake. And it's also not a software build framework responsible for installing software. While its goal is to test various components, including the software, and that's not its primary role. In build test, we will cover a few terminology. First, build spec is the YAML file that you will write tests. YAML is pretty easy to get started, and build test will take that build spec and actually generate a shell script and run them. These build specs are validated through JSON schemas. We have global schema, which is a JSON schema that defines the top-level structure of the build spec, and this global schema is actually validated for all build specs. We also have a sub-schema that validates a test instance of the build spec. And this sub-schema is lookup field through the type field. These sub-schemas are also version schema, and every test is only validated with one sub-schema. The build specs are executed using an executor, which is responsible for running the tests. These executors are defined in your configuration file. The executors can be typically a local executor or a batch executor. In version 0.8, in last year, we introduced JSON schemas. These JSON schemas were responsible for validating the build spec. This was a core change to the build test framework. This was primarily led by Vanessa. The concept was to change the validation process from our own implementation to using the JSON schema library. So we will write the JSON schema. We'll have regression tests against the schema with example valid and invalid tests for each schema. These JSON schemas were also published on GitHub pages. We had a workflow that automates the markdown, to create markdown pages from schemas. On the right is an example of a compiler schema. It shows you all the properties available, and it's useful if you're going to write your build spec to reference this documentation. The schemas are also versioned, so it allows us for future development of the schema while retaining backwards compatibility. In build test, you will use the build test build command to build your test. You can specify a file using the dash b option, which will be relative or an absolute path. You can also specify a directory, which will find all build specs in a directory. It will traverse the directory and find the .yaml files. It will make sure that all the files are valid. If the file doesn't exist, then it will just exit. You can also append the dash b option. So you can have a file or a directory and it will find all the tests. We can also build tests using tags. So imagine you have, you want to run all, like let's say benchmark tests. You can have a tags name corresponding to a string, and build tests will find all the tests corresponding to the tag and build them. You can mix between the dash b and the dash tags option. You can also exclude files using the dash x. And this works on files and directories, and it can be appended multiple times. You can also build by executor. So imagine you want to run all tests that correspond to the executor. Oftentimes, these executors are associated to a queue in your system, a batch queue system. In this example, we show a typical build. This is, we have a single build spec of a Python hello example. First, we will discover the test. Since it's a file, it will be only one test. It will get validated with the schema. In this example, it's using the script version 1.0 schema. Next, it will build the test. It will tell you that the name of the test is Python hello. It will generate a unique test ID and generate the shell script. That shell script is run using the executor. It will get the return code and a status message, typically a pass or fail, to indicate if the test passes. You can also build by tags. Tags is going to take a string value, arbitrary string. In this example, we're using a tag name called pass. It will find that there's one build spec that corresponds to that, and it will run all the tests within that build spec. In this example, the build spec had four tests. All four of them are run. Now we'll cover the general pipeline. For every discovered build spec, build test typically goes through a five-stage pipeline, and it will first parse the build spec with the JSON schema. This includes the global and the sub-schema. Next, it will build the test, which includes generating a valid shell script from the YAML file. And that's the core part of build test, which actually auto-generates the shell script. Next, it will run the test. It could be either a local or batch executor. This is defined by the executor property in the build spec. And depending on how it's run, we'll gather the results. If it's run locally, it just means running the test and gathering the output and error file and return code. If it's through a queuing system, then we submit the job, pull for the job, get the results through the queue system. And finally, we update the report internally in build test so that we can process the results. In this diagram, we cover the validation process of a build spec. As I mentioned, the build spec is validated with a global schema and a sub-schema. And this diagram shows exactly how that's done. We have an input build spec. The test is called hello world. It's a property within the build spec. The first part of the validation is the global schema validation. It validates the version, the build specs, and the maintainers field. Version and build specs are required fields. Maintainer is an optional field. The version and the type field are lookup fields to find the subschema. Since the subschemas are at version 1.0, we use a version and the type, and we find that it's a script version 1.0 schema that we need to use to validate the test. In this example, that's how this validation works. If the build spec is not valid, it will be skipped. In this example, we show the build spec structure. So the version and the build spec are required fields. Version defines the schema version you want to use. Build spec is the declaration of one or more tests. The name of the test in this example is systemd default target. You can name it anything you want. That name will show up in your test. In the output of the build test build command, the executor is responsible for running the test. And this is important for how you want that test to be run. This local.bash is running the test through the bash shell locally. The type is also a required field. It tells you which schema to use. You can specify a description of the test. You can specify the tags you want, and that will use the build test build --tags option if you want to build this test. And then the run section is actually going to specify the script. In this example, it's testing if the multi-user target is the default target. Typically, a test with a return code 0 is a pass, but sometimes you will want a different return code match. For instance, if you're going to try to run some kind of failed test, you may want to have to match a different return code instead of 0. We have 4 tests in this example. The first test is an exit 1 fail. It will fail because exit 1 is a non-zero. The second test is an exit 1 pass. We got an exit 1. We're expecting an exit 1. So this will pass. In the third test, we have an exit 2. But we're expecting a 1 or 3. We can have a list of different return codes to match. And this will fail because 2 is not in the list. In the last example, we got an exit 128. And we can match it with 128. So this one passes. We can customize shell using the shell property. By default, the tests are run in bin bash, but you can use this, the system provided bin bash, bin sh, csh, tcsh, zsh. We can also use Python, and you can also add additional options to your liking. And this all affects the script schema when you're using the run, when you're writing the tests. The Python shell support can be enabled using the shell property. And this will allow you to write Python code using the script schema. All you need to do is use the shell, specify the Python, and change the executor to local Python. And then the run section is used to write Python code. This is a simple example of calculating the radius and the area of the circle. If you want to have some more complex Python scripts, you can, you know, bring your own Python code and invoke it using the bash or sh shell. In Viltest, we support Slurm, LSF, and Cobalt. We have schedule agnostic configuration using the batch property. In this example, we're going to submit a job with one node, one CPU, five minutes, and 5 megabytes. The batch property for this one is going to use the Slurm parameters because this test will use the Slurm queue. And the batch property only implements a subset of the features that are shared between the schedulers. It's not intended to implement all the features because not all the features are applicable. For example, if you had a test that used the QoS field, this would be valid in Slurm, but if you were going to run the same test on LSF or Cobalt, you will not get this field. Therefore, build test will just ignore that field during the test generation. We also support Cray burst buffer and data warp on Cray systems. So you typically use the BB and DW directives. So in build test, we have properties called BB and DW that map to these directives. In this example, we're creating a persistent burst buffer. It's called data buffer of size 10 gigabytes and striped access. This test is run on a KNL node. All we do is we go into the burst buffer and create a random 5 gigabyte file. As you can see on the output on the top right, this random.txt was created in the burst buffer. In order to switch to the burst buffer, we have to cd into the DW underscore persistent striped, and then the name of the buffer, and then create the file there. One thing to also mention is since this is a persistent burst buffer, this will be available when you do S control show burst. Now we'll talk about the compiler schema. This is the other schema that we support for writing, building single source compilation. This test will use the GCC 10 and 9 compiler. The compilers are defined in your configuration file. You can actually retrieve them using build test config compilers. In this example, we have three compilers, built-in GCC and the two GCC compilers. This is for the compiler schema, you need to specify a source file, which is a relative file to the build spec. The compilers is a start of compilers block where you define how to search for compilers using the name property. And this property is a list of regular expressions to search for the compiler names. You define the default section, which is organized by compiler groups for compiler configuration. For instance, in this example, we have the GCC compiler block where we define the C flag and LD flags for compiling this code. We can also override compiler defaults. In this example, we have a hello world in C. We're going to search for the compiler with the regular expression built-in GCC, anything that starts with built-in GCC and GCC. The default is going to be -01 for compiling all the GCC compilers. But in the config section, we can actually override the configuration. And this is organized by the named compilers. In this example, we will specify that GCC9 will use -02 and GCC10 will use -03. If build test doesn't find the doesn't pick up the compiler based on the regular expression, then it will ignore whatever is in the config section. For instance, if you specify GCC9 in your config but it wasn't picked up, it will just simply be ignored and the test won't be created. We can also build a single test with multiple compilers. This is an example of an OpenMP reduction example using GCC, Intel, and Cray compiler. So the regular expression, we have any compiler that starts with GCC, Intel, or Prog and Cray, because that's how the compilers were defined on Cori. We introduce a new field called all in the default section, which is configuration that's shared for all compiler groups. Any property that you see in the all section is also available in each of the compiler groups. In this example, ENV is for declaring environment variables. The same property is available in each of the compiler groups and it will be overridden. For this example, we're going to use 4 OpenMP threads and each of the compiler groups will compile this code with the OpenMP flag. As you can see in the test, this single reduction test was actually built with all the GCC compilers, ProgEnv, Cray, and the Intel compilers. In this example, we have an MPI Laplacian code. It's built on it's run on a KNL node. We're using the Intel 19 compiler. We can also specify SBatch options. This is available in the all section, which basically mapped to the SBatch directives. And this property is also available in each of the compiler groups. We can also, since this is an MPI code, we run this test through srun. This is the recommended way in Slurm. That's specified in the run property. And this code is compiled with the MPI wrapper, so we can use the CC property to specify what compiler to use. Since this Intel MPI, we're going to use MPI ICC. We can also specify how to load and swap modules. So in order to use the Intel MPI, we're going to load the IMPI 2020 module. We also need to swap modules on Cori. The default module on Cori at login is a different version of Intel. So we can actually specify how to swap modules. As you can see, the way the test is generated, the modules are loaded first and then swapped. Now we'll talk about some other features in build tests, including the build spec cache. We can use the build test build spec find to load all the build specs into the cache, and then you can then filter and format them using the --- filter and --- format. The filter option expects a key value pair, and you can specify multiple key value pairs separated by comma. On the top right is an example where we find all tests with the filter on the tag name. We're going to search by all the tags with a fail property, and we find that there's two tests. We can also change the way the format of the columns using the format option. In this example in the middle, we're going to format by the name and the tags. And as you can see, it changes the columns. And we can also have a multi-key filter. So in this example in the bottom right, we can actually filter all the tests by the tags on the tags that equal tutorial, the tests that use the executor local SH, and that use the type script. We support multiple filter fields and format fields. You can find them using the dash dash help filter and help format. Now, whenever you run a test, it will be it's stored in a JSON file for post-processing. You can use the build test report command to actually display all the test results, and it can be queried using the filter and format options. It's very similar to the build spec feature that we discussed in the previous slide. The filter option is also a key value pair. You can also specify multiple filter arguments separated by comma, and is treated as a logical AND. And the format also alters the column. On the one on the bottom left, we are going to filter by the test name, exit one pass. Name is a key that is a key of in the filter option that tells you how to filter by the test name. And these test names are specified in your build spec file. They built in this example on the bottom right, we can also filter by return code. So imagine you want to find all the tests that have a return code, let's say 2, it will find them for you. And we can also format by the columns. In this example, we format by name, ID, and return code. We can also filter by multiple states. So multiple filter states. We have, in this example, we can filter by state, all tests that fail, and that run on the local SH executor. And this will filter using a logical AND. Now we'll talk about some of the tests that we have on Corey's test suite. You can find them in the link below. We try to test several components of the Corey system, including file system check. We check basic system configuration. We check for network tests like, you know, pinging the login nodes, data transfer nodes, SSH connection, making sure the name servers are up. We use Slurm, so we make sure that basic Slurm commands like, you know, sinfo, scontrol, making sure the Slurm controllers are available, partitions are there. We also have two different Slurm clusters. So ESS Slurm is another of our clusters. We make sure that we can submit jobs to both clusters. We make sure that we can submit to all the queues. We can create a burst buffer, make sure that we can stage in, stage out from the burst buffer. And we also have a list of fail jobs that test for different Slurm configuration, like time limit, max nodes to the queues. On the application, we have OpenACC, OpenMP, MPI, MKL. For our container, we're using Shifter, so we make sure that Shifter can pull images and run Shifter through the job. And we also have E4S test suite, which is the SPAC stack for testing. This is an example of of testing the SSH ping and uptime of our like login nodes, data transfer nodes. We have 12 Corey login nodes, Corey 01 to 12, data transfer 01 to 06. So make sure that we can ping them and we can SSH into them. And just run remote commands against them. And finally, we have some resources to get you started. If you just want to get started, there are the schema docs, the installation guide. If you need help, just please look at the Slack channel, join the Slack channel, and thank you.